I mean, we couldn't take this boat safely out into the ocean, but here we are, just a short distance from the ocean, completely protected. And then you see the sea oats. I mean, it looks like a Thomas Kincaid picture back here, doesn't it?
Chrissy Endo and Dr. Robert Parr are in a small boat passing through a quiet inlet near Figure Eight Island. Bob Parr is a practicing emergency physician. Before he went to medical school, he earned a master's degree in oceanography at Oregon State University.
And my specialty there was how dredging in estuarine systems affected the existing environment.
For Parr and Endo, the installation of a terminal groin is only the first blow to this unmanaged inlet area. It's also the ongoing maintenance, the periodic dredging and beach renourishment that worry them. Rich Inlet, a historically stable inlet, has never before been dredged.
Well, we probably have about 100 species of fish. We probably have about 20 species of clams. We have 3 or 4 species of crabs. We have millions of species of small microorganisms that we don't even know about. Generally speaking, when you go in and dredge an area, most of those species are displaced.
It takes about 10 years for those species to recolonize, says Parr. This project would allow dredging every 2 to 3 years, which means the ecosystem would never fully recover. And the reason non-scientists would care about the displacement of microorganisms.
Well, it's the basis of the food chain.
Figure Eight Island stakeholders have tried beach renourishment, but chronic erosion on the north end means the sand doesn't stay on the beach very long. Terminal groin opponents also argue that public access to Rich Inlet could be compromised by the project. Jack Spruill is vice president of PenderWatch, an environmental advocacy group. He delivered a petition entitled Save Rich Inlet with almost 140 signatures to the Corps last year.
We, the undersigned, spend time in Rich Inlet fishing, swimming, teaching our children how to swim, walking on the beach, sunbathing, picnicking, and birdwatching, among other activities. We oppose the proposal.
Loss of public access has a larger implication, says Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation.
You're talking about loss of economy. People buying boats, paying for gas, going out there buying food, coming down, saying they're going to go to Rich Inlet or Lee Island to camp or recreate. And this has possibilities of affecting Lee and Hutaf Island north. It's going to cause loss of a recreational use of a public resource.
But that claim is nonsense to David Kellum. He runs the Figure Eight Island Homeowners Association. Maintaining the inlet area, says Kellum, could actually improve access for recreational boaters and fishermen.
Otherwise, the channels may very well fill in, and the boating recreation people won't even have a place to go get out there. We don't see any opportunity for loss in the engineering design, the protection of it. The conditions out there should not change. If anything, they should be enhanced through proper management.
But for Mike Giles of the Coastal Federation, the debate hinges on this.
What we say is when you build in those particular areas, you're rolling the dice. And the people of North Carolina should not have to pay for your decisions. And the resources and the public trust waters and public beaches should not be in jeopardy because you made a bad decision.
Whether a permit is granted will come down to how the Corps answers this question. What is the least damaging, environmentally practicable alternative for Figure Eight Island? Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, WHQR News.